You're listening to Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com. Hey, Fiona.
Hey, Jill. You've got something really interesting today.
I do. I want to ponder. I want to explore. I want to question. Something that I'm thinking about, which is, you know, transformation. Now, that's a huge word, and we can transform a thought. We can transform an idea. We can transform a habit. And there's also to eliminate.
That's a very stressful thing to think
exactly.
That we have to do. You eliminate this, you eliminate that. And it puts a huge amount of stress onto us, I think.
That's why I brought the two together, because I wanted to explore how when we're working through a transformation of something in our lives, whether it's always about our lives, us, how do we recognize when we're beginning to eliminate something? It's like they say, cut out that negative thought. I like the idea of transforming that negative thought into something positive. If we start eliminating things, like eliminating bad habits, they still exist somewhere.
And it becomes a fight then with it. It's like,
you set yourself up for failure.
Don't think of pink elephants, and then it's really hard to not think of pink elephants. You know, he used to always use that one. So I think that if we try to eliminate, there's a pressure, there's a stress, and then we're judging ourselves if we don't eliminate it. For example, if you say, okay, so I've got to eliminate cigarettes from my life. We've got a show on that. And the when we, you know, you struggle, you fight, you push yourself, and you still can't do it.
Yeah.
So
it actually entails a modicum, quite a lot of suffering when you go to eliminate something that has taken hold of your life, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a form of suffering to eliminate it.
And struggle, and then what happens is, as you fight against it, quite often you feel guilty, you feel bad, you feel like you're failing, mm-hmm. and you still can't do it. And that's why in our show on cigarettes, we talk about, again, that would don't try to eliminate, transform. Take your cigarettes and really be one with them. Take your cigarettes and allow yourself to do the smoking, but really be complete with it and thankful for it as you're doing it and totally conscious. Mm-hmm. So if we try to eliminate even foods that people, like somebody might be really strong on chocolate and they decide, I'm going to eliminate that, but their mind keeps going back, mm-hmm. keeps going back to chocolate. Finally, they eat like 3 bars of chocolate because they've been pushing it away.
And they've been suffering terribly, and they need to ease the suffering.
Yeah.
So I think suffering and elimination, in my mind, go together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's reframing everything. I'm going to transform this.
Yeah.
Because transforming something with the intention of turning it into something positive. So, for example, with the smoking, when I did that, it was maybe almost 27 years ago.
Wow.
And I loved smoking. I must say it really suited me just fine. Anyway, I saw the tobacco industry talking in front of Congress, congressional hearing, and I watched them lie. I was astonished that they would actually lie, giving evidence, and I thought, I can't support this. So to me, it transforming from smoking, it was to stand in my beliefs. And instead of going against my beliefs, I transformed it.
And that's a powerful way. And another way is to bring constant consciousness to it, mm-hmm. so that if you know, we talked about the cigarettes, but you can do the same with chocolate.
Oh yeah.
So when you're gonna, if you're dying for a piece of chocolate, you take the chocolate, you eat it really super slowly, tasting every little piece, allowing yourself to feel it as it goes down, allowing yourself to smell it, be completely present with the chocolate, and making it conscious. And I think making things, rather than eliminate them, make them conscious, and or look for that switch which,
well, if you're going to come off smoking, or you're going to go on a diet, or you're going to stop drinking alcohol, or one of the things to transform this from something that's bad for you, for example, is sometimes they always say cutting it out straight away, eliminating it. Then that causes the suffering. So mm-hmm. you ceremonialize it. So if you have a cigarette, why don't you buy the rolling papers and the loose tobacco? And as you are rolling the tobacco, you're saying a prayer. You're saying a prayer for something, for healing, to help you give up the smoking. But it becomes a ceremony. If you take a drink and you want to give up, say, all right, I'm going to sip this. And with each sip, I'm going to offer, you know, I'm having this sip and asking for help to do so. But you ceremonialize it and you slow it way down.
That makes it conscious too, because yeah. you become aware of what's going on in you. Mm-hmm. And that's so powerful. And
and the last sip I'm going to take, I offer to the healing of my mother, the healing of my father, the healing of somebody that you really care about. And then you put the lid back on the bottle, and that's it. So it becomes something. It turns it into a much more of a transformational thing. And so this is, when it comes time to, when I gave up smoking, I don't even remember my last cigarette. Mm. I don't even remember my last cigarette. It was gone.
And that came through you having like a switch that went off in your mm-hmm. head, like, I'm not going to support mm-hmm. the industry. Mm-hmm. And that can happen with some things. And mm-hmm. with some things, it's less likely to happen. It's yeah. wonderful when that switch does go off. And that's a one, you know, it's an amazing thing. Or maybe you look at your kids and say, oh, yeah. I can't do this because I don't want them to do it. I mean, and sometimes yeah. that works and sometimes it doesn't. And if you get that switch, mm-hmm. it's the most powerful. And if you don't get that switch, you can use becoming more conscious mm-hmm. with what you're doing.
But if it's a really hard thing to do that causes more suffering, you don't want to cause more suffering, but you want to turn it into something positive, like a ceremony for the healing of somebody else, or I can hear people saying, oh yeah, I can drink the whole bottle praying for somebody else. That's not the point of doing it that way. No, it is, I'm going to have a sip of this, or I'm going to have one little chocolate, I'm going to have, like you look at the Hershey bars, I'm going to have one little break of that.
And I eat it slowly. And totally consciously and giving thanks.
And like the Dalai Lama says brilliantly, when you put something in your mouth, chew it 30 times before you swallow it. Take your bar of chocolate, just like you were saying. You'll just, and if, you know, oh, you know, I can even taste it now just thinking about it. But if you slow it down, it's really a treasure of it.
And just reminding ourselves as we do that there have been probably hundreds of people growing it, what's inside it, what needs to go into it, processing it, packing it, putting it on the shelves, all that. And so you're being gifted with the service of all those people. If as you're eating it, you can just think, what a wonderful thing that all these people came together to make this for me.
That's what I love to say is my prayer before a meal, is just the honoring of who planted the seeds, who took care of it, who watered it, who, you know, fed it, who harvested it, who bundled it up, who brought it to us, who made it and who served it to us. All of those people get blessed by us being mindful of all that.
And I think I told in one of the recent podcasts about that doctor who was scuffing down McDonald's for lunch, and when he was told to slow it down and make it conscious, he realized he didn't even like them. So when you slow things down and you really savor them and enjoy them, I've had quite several people be able to give up smoking quite easily. And so it's not about eliminating, which is always a force and a push. Yeah. It's about really being able to transform through consciousness, right, through mindfulness.
And, you know, also I recognized, too, when I was giving up smoking, that when I really slowed it down to the fact where I don't even remember my last cigarette 27 years ago, but I did, it was all the mindfulness, that every time I reached for a cigarette, it was, I became aware that it was, I needed, that where I needed the cigarette was between things. So say I'm doing a research paper and the phone rings. I have to light a cigarette because it's taking me out of that concentration into the next concentration.
Yes.
Even to the fact where I'm in a bath, I get out of the bath, I need a cigarette, because now I'm out of the bath. I thought, oh, so it's that transformation times. I'm using this as a transformation. I don't need a transformation between doings.
That is so interesting, yes. And my Qigong master, Master Hong Lu, said the same thing, because he was in hospitals seeing hundreds of patients every day in China. And he would use, after he'd done several, he would use the cigarettes to get him to a calm, it wasn't quite the same, but get him to a calm space again so that he could go in and see another 100 patients. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like cigarettes, I think, are always, from what people have told me, a kind of a transition mm-hmm. point. And so
the other way to find a transition point is to put the tip of your thumb at the tip of your ring finger. Because you could do it where you would hold your cigarette, but I would say the tip of the thumb to the tip of the ring finger. So that you've got the feeling that your hand is busy, the hand that would be holding the cigarette, or the hand that would be holding the glass or the bottle of beer or whatever it is. So that you're getting your hand used to this transformation into something positive and bringing the life force back into you instead of deadening the life force within you.
And at the same time, all of these things that we're trying to eliminate have in some way helped us at some time.
That's why we want to transform it. Yeah. We don't want to throw it away.
No.
Because anything, even the things that are horrendous tragedies in our lives, is there to transform us in some way, shape, and form.
And so it's important, I think, that we don't feel, again, we've told the last podcast was about being a victim. And I think we've got others on victim too. So we want to not feel like a victim who cannot eliminate, who's mm-hmm. trapped by the things they want to eliminate.
Yeah.
We want to realize that all those things, there goes a doggy, that all of those things have been, we have in our life to help us to transform and to find deeper consciousness and deeper mindfulness.
I love it. Yeah. I love transformation. I love transformation. It's a positive. It's a positive.
Well, it's a deepening and a strengthening and an expanding, whereas eliminating is a contracting, mm-hmm. I feel, most of the time. I mean, I think at some stage there's space for everything. But what we want in our lives is to be able to expand consciousness and expand through transformation.
Yeah.
And eliminating tends to wash us down and say, if you don't eliminate, you are whatever.
And by eliminating it, you're acknowledging that there's something negative.
Yes.
But if you take that thing that you feel is a negative and transform it from the negative into the positive, because it still lives within you. Everything that you consider your bad habits, for example, that you need to eliminate, they were still habits you had. So let's transform them rather than casting them off.
Yes, even TV. Mm-hmm. If you're having a really hard time not watching a lot of TV, one of the things I would suggest is that every time, if you're watching commercial TV, which Jill and I don't, but if you're watching, you want to stop, and every ad, turn it down or mute it and take some breaths and say to yourself, this is in some way feeding me. Just let me be conscious. Let me be mindful. Then the new one comes on, you know, the new show, the rest of the show comes on, and you click it back. So taking moments of mindfulness and take it in your TV will really make you conscious of, you'll probably ask yourself, do I really like this show, or is this something that's feeding me, or am I just here to gather alpha waves because I'm rushing around in the day so much that I can't get out of my beta brain waves?
Yeah, I like listening rather than watching. I like reading rather than watching because I like using my own imagination. When I read something with characters in it in a story, I see it in my mind. But also, say, because I don't watch television, but I have a little mini iPad, and sometimes at night I'll turn on BritBox or Acorn TV and watch something. But I find now that I'm not used to watching television anymore, 3 years it's been, that I pick up my sewing. I darn things, I mend things, I'm doing needlepoint, I knit gloves in the winter and this, and I love doing that. And I find I'm listening to the show rather than watching it, because I love to listen to things.
Because it's unique, and I think with children, it's wonderful if you can encourage them to listen, because then they're using their imaginations, and that really expands them. When we always have everything in front of us, I think it's difficult for children because they don't really end up using their imaginations so much.
Yeah.
So if at least sometime you can... It's transformational to use your imagination.
Right.
And it's so good for children. So
read books to them. I can't say, you know, when they're little, start when they're really little. You can start with Pat the Bunny before they're a year old. And you want to read to them until you discover they can't wait till the next chapter. They want the next page. And they begin to search out the words and learn how to read themselves because they love their own imagination. If they're sitting in front of the television,
there's nothing there.
It's just given.
And what that does too is that makes us more robotic, because it means we feel we have to have something right in front of us to tell us what is what, as opposed to being able to work things out in
our
own
question everything.
And question everything. So when the children are watching TV, it's very difficult to question because it's there, it's the
They're
way it is.
They're being programmed.
Yeah, and so we have to say to ourselves, let me stop, let me tell the children a story. Children actually love to be told stories. Mm-hmm. My dad was a wonderful storyteller, and I used to tell stories, so did Bob, to our daughter Taja. And I think it's really helpful to tell stories, to read stories, because that makes it expands our imagination, enables us to question our reality.
And if you can tell stories to your child or to children, then you can invite them to tell you a story.
Yes.
And so that they learn how to create and tell stories.
I think that is lovely. Mm-hmm. And there's a wonderful, I know I was suggesting moving away from media, but my niece's daughters use the iPad to create movies. Mm-hmm. And they're always thinking about how can we create. So there's a movie program on the iPad. The children can create their own movies, and that's a way to use media and also use the imagination. And they make these very cool little movies, the two of them together. And also they're working together, the 12-year-old and the 8-year-old, to create these things. So it's fun because they're working together.
Isn't that wonderful? When my sister and I were little, we used to put on productions, like vaudeville. You know, anyway.
All of that is just absolutely wonderful. And so if we look again at just work on what in our lives are we trying to eliminate?
Yeah.
And realize that this is really all about transformation, and we are searching for transformation through what we want to eliminate. And it's an incredible gift.
Yeah.
It changes our lives to be able to know that we can transform almost
anything. And it's healing. It's healing you
yes.
at the same time when you're transforming something that has been a part of your life that needs to be eliminated.
And I just want to end with this one a little bit too, but unless you've got something to say. But one of the things that my dad always said about people who were in the war and he was in the war, Second World War. So it was, he said, the people who came through being in prisoner camps, the ones who had imagination or were able to write stories in their mind or who had a really strong any kind of religious or spiritual beliefs or ideas would come through more strongly than the people who didn't. So they were transforming through their mind a situation which was they would love to eliminate. You know, it's like the transformation that they did through those, and many of the people came out with these most amazing lightness because of that.
Great example. Thanks, Fiona.
Oh, thanks, Joel. This is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com.
Your home always on planet Earth.